All right, you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Wrong bumper. I made a mistake.
I'm still recovering. Still recovering from the anniversary show. And I loved it. That was awesome. Evidently, 3 hours, 28 minutes got recorded. But it's the rest that didn't get recorded that's awesome. Welcome to Ghostly Talk. This is, oh my gosh, number like 100 million of Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, wow. What's going on here?
Sounds like something's on fire.
Well...
Are you burning down the Ghostly Talk studios again?
That's pretty funny that came up, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you knocked out the power last week.
Yeah, well, power.
Yeah, Will. You know what? Did we get to lambaste you last week on that? Because I don't remember too much about... I don't remember too much of the show. I mean...
I don't remember that much either.
Yeah. Did we lambaste him after that happened, though?
Oh, he was in the... He was like, you know, in the corner and stuff. We were teasing and taunting him for about an hour.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. Yeah. As long as he was lambasted thoroughly for that little stunt.
He was. Yeah. And then we ended up forgiving him.
Well, yeah, that's why he's back.
In our drunken stupor, yeah, sure.
In our drunken stupor? Like, you were included in that.
Not me.
Doug, the man, straight as an arrow.
Yeah, that's me.
Me and Will fall out of our chairs. That was a fun night, though. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening last Saturday. We had a great time. We hope you guys had a good time with us.
Yeah,
we wish you could have all been there, everybody who was listening and who does listen for the more informative shows of Ghostly Talk.
There are occasionally some informative shows.
Every once in a while you do learn something.
Yeah.
Last week it was not... What not to do on an internet radio program. So I think we broke just about every rule there was.
So, and I'd like to thank Zero Point Radio for carrying that. So,
yeah.
www.zeropointradio.com. The guys there let us carry that live. I don't know why, but I'm really happy they did.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And and we still don't have a copy of it. But
no,
we'll get a copy
we're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah.
This week, though.
The reason that fire little snippet thing. was important is because this week we're going to talk about spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah, it's a topic we've been getting asked about a lot as far as
what's
it all about? Well,
we don't know either, but we'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of stuff going on right now as we speak. I mean, we're going to talk about this topic thoroughly. But we've been talking about before the show started tonight, just concerning the present state of affairs with our country and other countries.
Yeah, that's true. Before tackling the topic of spontaneous human combustion, we probably should, you know, give a shout out to all of our forces, the U.S. and coalition forces over in, you know, stuck doing the work of Bush out in the Gulf, you know, area.
Iraq.
So,
I think, you know, I mean, I've been watching CNN a lot, but... I really don't. I mean, they're in Iraq. Okay.
Well, some of them are in Iraq.
I don't like war. I don't like
Afghanistan.
War.
And there's a new country, or something.
A new country.
Yeah. Right up just north of Iraq, there's this new country or something. I've never seen it before. Something mine. MEIN. It's like some zibba zibba zib mine. And I'm like, well, I've seen, you know, maps of, I've heard of countries before, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I used to know, like, pretty much a lot of the countries, but these country names are just coming and going like crazy. Some new country north of Iraq that I'd never heard of until they showed a map of Iraq and the surrounding area, and I'm like, well, I never heard of that one.
Yeah, I mean...
And
this is a real hard thing for. I know. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, these countries just come and go. So
they just come and go.
I'm hoping that you know, we'll get Iraq out of the way, and then that way, you know, it'll be.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll rename it.
I think
too,
a lot of us are hoping that. You know.
You know, just get it out of the way. Get our forces back home.
Exactly. That's
you know?
The big thing that I've been thinking about what did this start? Wednesday night. Because I know I was at band practice and we were rehearsing, and somebody said, "Hey, man, wonder if they started the war yet." Because, you know, we're stuck in a little, you know, cubby,
a basement.
You know,
we spend a lot of time in basements,
don't we? Yeah. And like, for that 2.5 hours, we're, like, separated from the whole world. So when I got home that night, I was just like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. And turn on the TV, and sure enough, I'm looking at this green screen because of the night vision, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm seeing things just, like, blink, blink. And I guess that was bombs going off.
Actually, it's anti-aircraft fire.
We have Colonel Will Whitmer on the show tonight. Colonel Will Whitmer, yeah, it's good to have you in the studio tonight. Yeah, anti-aircraft fire. Really?
Yeah. That's what
they're hitting buildings, though.
Right, because Iraq was missing with the anti-aircraft fire.
Ah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, yeah. Okay. All right.
Anti-aircraft fire without
scope. They were just randomly shooting in the air, basically.
Oh, well, okay. See, I don't know too much about war. I'm not a big fan of war, but I know we share this opinion. All of us do. You know, unfortunately, this is going on right now, and I do, like you said, Doug, send a huge praise out to everybody that's out there right now, all the troops that are out there working their behinds off, putting their butts on the line.
A certain number of them are going to be, you know, like, well, no matter what, they're all behind the country 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, except for maybe that one that's getting court-martialed.
What the heck was that all
about,
man?
Yeah, well, you know, they're a bunch of...
He's just chucking grenades into tents.
Into tents and stuff.
Well,
yeah.
I heard he converted over to Islam while he came over there. You know, he was just, you know, all right, I'm going to shoot you. Allah! Allah! What am I shooting at you people for? I mean, I want to know, like,
yeah,
the point of the breaking point that this actually happened, where this guy said...
When in your mind do you say, oh, okay, let's see, I did all this training, I did all this stuff, and now I'm just going to completely change my entire life...
And start bombing tents.
And start bombing my own,
yeah.
You know, the people...
I believe eight
with,
people
yeah.
were injured, seriously injured in that.
One was killed.
That's a damn shame, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on, and we're not going to be the ones to judge this, obviously.
No.
They show,
so except for that one...
Those
folks are behind the country 100%. And some of them are going to have the viewpoint that we should be at war with Iraq, and some are going to have the viewpoint that we shouldn't be at war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Because that is a huge cross-section of America, these troops that are over there. And same thing with the Australian forces and, of course, the English forces that are there. They're going to have soldiers doing their jobs in the names of their countries, right?
Yeah.
And you know, 100% behind their country, whether their personal beliefs, you know, say that they should be there or not. They're doing their jobs, and they're doing a really good job. And I think, you know, more power to you guys.
Yeah.
I
like to believe that there isn't one person on this planet that truly, in their heart, likes war, that really wants to go to war and wants to fight.
Well, Saddam Hussein.
Yes, but
he
you have to have a motivator behind that, though. I'm sure if Saddam Hussein himself could find an easier way to get whatever he wants to get done besides going to war and losing hundreds, well, thousands of people, let's say.
Well, he doesn't care about his people.
Well, yeah. Maybe he is the one person on this planet that enjoys war. I know nobody in this basement enjoys war.
No.
We don't enjoy seeing people die. I mean, I don't have any family in the military. I mean, my father was in the military, but he was a cook in Germany. I'm not knocking him, man. He had an easy job. That's I'm proud. My dad has no problems at all, you know.
Okay. I want to say that even though the war is going on,
yeah.
whether you believe in it or not,
yeah.
It's happening. And whenever the government launches pretty much anything,
uh-huh.
there's always little cover-ups and conspiracies, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's why the Colonel's here tonight.
That's why we got Colonel Will in the studio tonight.
Yes, Colonel.
To tell us about what he was seeing, what was it, last night? They showed all the stuff, and now there's, like, conflicting reports. There's, like, all this stuff going on.
Which is typical.
And Will is here to explain this to us.
So we're going
to
put you around the spot.
Yeah, man. What's up with that?
There was a battle going on last night in Qatar, and they had this cameraman up there, and he's just standing there, and all these Marines are down on the ground in the prone position.
Well, I actually saw a little bit of that, and that was the British reporter, David Bowden.
Right.
He was there. He's from the British reporting people. Yeah. they had a name for it, but I didn't,
yeah.
you know.
But he's just standing there out in the open with this cameraman, and they're asking him, you know, asking the cameraman if he's scared, and he reaches out his hand and shakes it, you know, as he's, you know, so-so, you know. He's scared, but he's doing his job anyway. All the Marines were all down except for this, you know, this reporter and this cameraman. And it's like, you know, you see the machine gun fire on the camera coming from these buildings. And it's like, okay, dummy, get down.
I know you're trying to get the shot of the century, but it isn't worth your...
Well,
maybe it is his. I mean, that wouldn't be me, though, if I had a camera in my hand in the middle of Iraq. No.
Well,
they
did the best they could to bring the news.
Yeah,
know,
I mean, and this is, I mean...
To England and the United States and all over.
Have we ever seen, I mean, okay, I wasn't alive during Vietnam. I wasn't alive during a lot of these wars, obviously. But is it just me, or is this the most publicly televised war you've ever seen in your entire life.
Well, because,
I mean, they have literally people sitting, they're driving in Humvees with these guys as they're crossing the desert right now.
Well, yeah, that's all that, not insertion, what do they call it when they, embedded, that's all that embedded reporting.
Yeah, but, I mean, you guys said it earlier, though, when we were discussing this, you know, you were watching TV, and you, who are you sitting with? You said you were watching watching TV with somebody, and you said you were watching it, and all of a sudden a commercial came on. War starts at 8.
Oh, that was my brother. I was on the phone with my brother. Yeah.
This is like, you know, over the weekend, right?
Yeah. No, this was like last Wednesday. The day.
Oh, this was Wednesday.
Or
okay.
whenever the 8 o'clock p.m. thing was supposed to happen.
Yeah,
and
well,
then, of
okay,
course,
yeah.
when it didn't start at 8, because
yeah.
we were thinking, ooh, primetime war. When it didn't start at 8, we're like, well, maybe he meant from the end of his speech. So how long was this, you know, Bush's speech? And so we tried to figure it, and it turns out it didn't happen. You know,
well, I've been hearing that, though, too, still, though, after the initial first bombing, you want to say, on Wednesday. I mean, I've been watching CNN all weekend when I had a few spare minutes, and it's like coverage, you know, or they say it's like the war, you know, war is going to be on at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Really, it started last Wednesday. What, we're going to do over timeout, let's do it again. I mean... What's going on right now? I mean, I'm just talking about the media. How much, I mean, these guys, they have 500, from what I heard, 500 people over there that are part of the media. They are with these guys, with the cameras, with interviewing.
There's also media out there that's not embedded. There's some media folks evidently got hurt. Did you hear about that?
I think, was it 6 of them from Britain?
And they weren't embedded, and they like got between the Iraqi and the coalition forces, and one of them evidently had to be medevaced or something out
okay.
of there for
yeah.
you know they it's dangerous.
You,
but they're out there trying to get the shot of the century, you know.
Well, those yeah. six are actually still missing.
Oh,
there was another one. There was a car bomb that went off like right next to them, and that was the one guy who was medevaced out. It was a cameraman from Australia.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm not there and I can watch it on CNN because
well,
I would not want to be there now.
What I keep hearing over and over again on CNN, though, because everybody in this country knows, God, this is ridiculous. These guys are, like, right there. I mean, I have my view of the media. You guys have your view of the media. And the media is always trying to shove their nose into anything that's going on, especially a war nowadays, apparently. And... we all think it's ridiculous. My God, these guys are right in the tanks with these people now. With
yeah.
their little video phones. That's what they call them, the video phones.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's kind of choppy
pixelation.
Stuff,
yeah,
but it's so cool. Because,
yeah, it's
I mean,
very
it's like
cool.
right there.
But I mean, what they keep saying over and over again is, we're doing this because we want you to be informed. We want you to know everything that's going on the spot right there. We want you as Americans to be informed.
We don't know jack squat.
Yeah, well,
well
thank
that's
you.
The thing. And what are some of the contradictions and stuff? And some of the things that you had noticed last night... that they glossed over. You were talking about Umm Qasr, which is, by the way, a port city, and it's very important because that's where the humanitarian aid would come in to Iraq. This, you know, humanitarian aid that we promised the Iraqi people for putting up with this war.
Yeah.
The ones who are not in, you know, the citizens.
The citizens.
The aid's going to come into Umm Qasr, and so that's why it's very important that the coalition control Umm Qasr. So they were battling for it last night.
They were battling for it last night. That's where the reporter was, who was standing out in the open. And the Marines realized that if they pushed forward, they were going to get their butt kicked, basically. There was just too many of them. So they all backed up and called in this airstrike. Well, the first airstrike came in, and there were very small explosions. It was almost just futile. I mean, there was no point in them.
Okay.
And then they finally just decided they were going to call it a second airstrike, and then they canceled it. And they just went in anyway, and within 2 minutes of them advancing into Umm Qasr, everything cut off, and there's been nothing really since then about that city. It makes you wonder what's really going on.
Yeah, what really happened? Did those guys just go in there and get killed? I guess I want to use that word.
Well, we shall find out.
I mean, hopefully we will. Because, yeah, I mean, that's you were talking about this earlier, Will, about... there, you what you think or what you've been, you know, there's always going to be conspiracy theory with stuff like this, obviously. But is the public, is the government, are they just trying to prepare the public? Okay, one guy died over here, and then another guy died over here. Oh, and then a couple guys died over here. Oh, and
yeah,
then eight
so
guys died over here. So it's a gradual build-up.
So are they building up to, oh, here's a list.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Here's a huge list with hundreds of people on it now. Are they just building us up as opposed to hitting us with, like, okay, we just lost a whole battalion, you know? Because the American public is going to go, what?
Yeah, because there's already the, you know, the marching in the streets and all that stuff here.
Yeah.
New York, the police were chasing the protesters down the street. They're, and literally hundreds of thousands of protesters, in some cases in L.A., New York, London, England, and all over the world.
And that's
there's
scary,
protesters
man.
All over the place.
That's, like, very scary. That's going on here and where we are, because we know we have people all over the world listening to this show. Okay, we like you guys. We're cool. You know? But that's going on here in our country, and that's very scary because it's right next door to us. I mean, Wayne State, we're on my alma mater. Thank you. They've been protesting down there since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. They're out there walking up and down Cass Corridor in front of Wayne State. So.
Well, they were talking about the city. I forget the name of the city, but the Marines were trying to take it, and they supposedly lost like 50 Marines. And it was an unconfirmed report, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden now there's nothing about it again.
Yeah.
I think if we lost 50 Marines, that would be, like, you know, so far our biggest known loss so far.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because if you look on CNN, they're saying that 10 was the biggest known loss.
Right.
And that wasn't anywhere near that city that happened last night. And now, you know, so wait a minute.
Right.
We're only getting little bits and pieces.
Well, yeah. Well, the whole thing is there's been all this smack talking that's been going on for the last 3 months. Well, if we go in there, we're just going to level that country. We're going to walk all over them. They can't handle the USA, yeah. And, yeah, you know, I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm a patriotic person. But that's where the problems come right there. I mean, it's so typical, too. We're going to walk all over this country. We're going to eat them up. And I've been listening to people. You know, I went out and had a couple drinks this weekend, you know, celebrate one-year anniversary again. And I was listening to people talking around me, like, oh, they're done, man. We're going to be done. Oh, yeah, USA. Well, you got 12 beers in you. You get real patriotic, right? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, are you excited about this? Is this exciting to you? Do you think this is exciting that we sent over 200,000 people over to that country that are risking their lives right now? And that's what we said at the beginning of this show. Thanks for doing that. We appreciate all the work you guys are putting into that. But this really sucks, if you ask me. The whole thing just sucks completely. And I wouldn't, obviously, I mean, this is my opinion. If I could have it my way, it wouldn't be going on. Bottom line. But it's going on right now, though. So what are we going to do? Well, I guess we have to support them, huh?
Well, we have to.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
it's sickening.
I wish that I, even with all this embedded reporting going on that we alluded to and talked about, we are still getting those conflicting or not
the conflicting reports. Yeah.
We do get conflicting reports, but we get partial reports, and that's where Will
and
has
that,
been tracking
that's
all
what,
that.
And that's what's getting on me too. That's the media right there for you. We're only going to tell them about the good stuff that happened.
Sometimes.
Well, thanks.
You know, sometimes they do have to report the bad, too, but the
yeah.
there is the bad, but then they gloss over it. You said there was a fellow on last night.
There was a fellow on last night.
Saying we might actually be losing the war?
We might actually be losing, and if we aren't losing it now, by the time we get closer to Baghdad, we probably will. A lot of the American diplomats and, you know, all the different people in the military are saying a lot of the exact same things they said in Vietnam. That we're gonna, you know, go over the, you know, we have the manpower and the firepower to take over this country, and yet we got our butts kicked in Vietnam. We really did. I mean, we left, and then they're saying a lot of the exact same things that they said back then in the 60s and 70s, and that's really scary.
That's very scary because this is a different group of people.
I mean,
yeah.
Weapons are better now. There's chemical and biological. It's bad.
Because I mean, we've crossed over the line now. We've crossed the line now. Before, it was just talking. We've walked into this country. Well, I hate to use the term weave. Like, I'm involved with this directly because I'm not.
No, but you're
supporting
supporting those people who are over there doing their jobs, risking their lives for our country and all the countries in the coalition.
Yes, and the troops, they're there now.
They're
killing
there.
People.
They have to do
they're
this.
Shooting
they have
people. And what happens? I mean, and I don't want to scare anybody out there, but what happens if we do lose this war? What is going to happen?
What happens if we don't find those weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What if Saddam did not have these things?
Well, Russia has said, like, there was a prime minister, somebody in the cabinet, came on TV and said that if America does not find these weapons, America will pay. what does that mean?
What does that mean?
I mean, granted, that now that opens it up to a lot of people speculating about them working with North Korea because North Korea has a bone to pick with the United States because of the nuke program. There's a lot of different, you know, a lot of different possibilities. You know, Russia. I mean, I don't want to, you know, knock anybody in Russia, but they have always wanted to become that superpower that they were before, during the Cold War days.
Well, they're on their way.
They are a powerful country.
But
there are people in the Russian government that want to get Russia to be the most powerful country, and they can't do that with the United States being around, at least being around in its current state.
So that poses a problem with them.
So we've got some interesting stuff going on the war front.
Yeah,
and
wow.
I'm sure that
where's the typewriter sound at, anyways?
I'm sure that Clyde Lewis will be probably all over this stuff.
I'm gonna listen to that tonight. Definitely listen to that tonight.
Me too. I missed it last night and the night before because I've been programming like a fiend.
Yeah.
But
it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to think about that kind of stuff right there. Is like, what happens if we do lose this war? And I hate hearing people. I've been listening to people talk like that for the last week now, and I know we have a great country, the USA. I am so happy that I was born in this country. I'm lucky to live in this country. I know I am. I acknowledge that every day. But this whole "we're better than you, we're bigger than you, we're more powerful than you" attitude is really starting to get old, because look what's going on right now.
Well, that's the thing, is I even doing Ghostly Talk, and we're gonna have to go to break shortly.
Yeah.
and then come back and talk about spontaneous human combustion, but
yeah.
The whole thing about Ghostly Talk is it is worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, this show, just this tiny little show.
There could be somebody in that country listening to us right now.
I wonder. Yeah, but what happens is it's worldwide. I talk, you know, well, not when I'm programming, I don't talk to people. I'm, you know, so this past week I've been programming and for work. So I've been I've been out of the loop, so to speak.
Yeah.
But before that, and then after I'm done with my program, I talk with people daily who are from all over the world, and we talk, of course, about paranormal stuff because that's what I'm into. Well, I was thinking that people are a lot, you know, all people seem to have very similar ideals and goals and problems and dreams and things like that. And by dreams, I mean, you know, hopes and
aspirations.
Dreams. Yeah, aspirations, not... I imagine people also have similar, you know, sleeping dreams, too. But what I mean is that I find people to be more alike than different.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. And I enjoy talking about paranormal stuff, and I enjoy talking to people from all over the place. And I find that the world is pretty much, I would like to think, everybody's on an even keel. I've never once connected to somebody and said, "Well, where are you from?" And then they're from, like, I don't know, think of a tiny little country, you know. I can't even think of a small
Istanbul.
Country. Well, that's a country?
Is it a country?
I don't think so. That's a city.
Istanbul's in Turkey.
Yeah, that's
I don't know where that came
Turkish
from.
Turkish city.
Never mind.
Liechtenstein. They don't, like, for example, Liechtenstein. It's a city that is a country. Well, so there's a little bit more, you know. But anyway, Liechtenstein. They don't say, "I'm from Liechtenstein," and then I think, "Oh, well, they're just from Liechtenstein." I never thought that.
Where
I never talked to anybody
from
Liechtenstein.
Where are you from? Well, I'm from the USA.
Yeah. I've never asserted my USA-ness. You know, I mean, I'm proud of my country, but I'm not... You know, I like talking with people on an even, you know, level.
Yeah.
And I don't ever, you know, claim to be. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. All during the show, we're always like, we don't know it all, but we're going to do our best to present this stuff to you.
And then you guys make your own conclusions and decisions based on that.
And inform us.
And
keep us informed, because we want to learn this stuff.
I don't think on this show we've ever had that issue with anybody, whether it was email or IMs or phone calls now.
Yeah, I'm from pick a city. You know,
yeah, and it's
I'm
like, well, no, we can't talk to you because you're not smart. You're not as good as we are because we're from the USA and, you know, you suck. Bye. Click. No, it don't work that way, and I don't want it to ever work that way on this show, because, I mean, that constricts ideas, and it constricts your creativity right there.
Yeah, and I find that people are amazing no matter where they're from or what their, you know, country affiliation is.
Yes, exactly.
So all right, let's do that.
Let's
We're
going to
come back with spontaneous human combustion and hopefully your phone calls.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
I have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been resmerized.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning, but the world.
we're back. The party continues.
Party?
It's
just a normal show.
Yeah, I guess you're right, man.
Well, as normal as it gets around here anyway.
So, spontaneous human combustion.
Spontaneous human combustion. That's what we're going to talk about.
Strange topic. Been talked about for years, been going on for years.
Yeah, I noticed that in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's burn something.
What's up, man?
It burns!
What the heck, man?
Oh, my gosh.
World's gone crazy.
Yeah.
So, no, spontaneous human... Doug.
Spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, I love fire!
Somebody went crazy with the clip.
What's going on here,
I love
man?
It.
Somebody's dumping bits left and right.
Yeah.
Now, spontaneous human combustion, basically, there's a lot of speculation about it. Very mysterious thing going on. Okay, for those of you who have never heard of it in your entire life, which I highly doubt that, it's basically you burn up from the inside, they say.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, and I remember, when I first heard of it and people describing it, evidently you... You burn a human being, because
uh-huh.
that's part of spontaneous human combustion.
Uh-huh.
So a human being basically, like you said, burns up from the inside out,
yeah.
leaving quite often the clothing, the chair they're sitting in or whatever, everything else around
yeah,
is
it's
pretty
completely
much
untouched. It's one of the telltale characteristics of this phenomenon because, yeah, they'll come and they'll find a person. And you've seen these pictures if you've ever studied this at all, and they're creepy pictures. They're very creepy pictures.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the ones I've seen, the famous case, I think it was from 1967. I'm going to have to look it up here. I got it somewhere. We'll talk about it. But the picture from that particular case.
Do you mean the lady in the chair?
Yeah, the lady in the chair. Yeah, I have that here somewhere.
I thought it was like 30-something.
It was in the 60s, I thought.
No, I thought...
Right here.
Was...
Here it is right here. Yeah.
57.
Hardy Reeser was her name. Mary Hardy Reeser was her name. A 67-year-old widow who spontaneously combusted while sitting in her easy chair on July 1st, 1951. Sorry, I was off by 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, well, the picture from that, I mean, unfortunately, where this is radio, we can't show you the picture.
But
we
can
probably find
it.
Look up her name. Look up, if you want to get to see the picture, look up her name. What was that again? Mary Hardy Reeser and spontaneous human combustion in Google. You'd probably be able to find it. But the picture itself is very creepy because they have a picture of the chair. And it's burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all you
but
see...
But it's still standing.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still standing.
It's
yeah.
still like a chair. You can tell it's a chair.
Yeah.
Whereas if like the house burned down, for example...
There wouldn't be a chair there.
There wouldn't be a chair there.
No.
Yeah.
And what you see, though, is I think there's been a couple of them that are the same way. But all you really see left is usually 1 or 2 feet. Maybe with
yeah.
a little bit of leg left on them. And that's it!
Everything else is combusted.
Burnt to a
yeah.
crisp. Yeah, burnt to a crisp. And it's a very creepy photo. There's been lots of specials on TV about this. There's lots of books on the whole thing. Actually, the most famous book, I believe, I did note this for us. Unfortunately, I cannot find the damn thing right now. There it is right here. Found it. There's a book called Fire from Heaven. It was written by Michael Harrison. This is basically, it's become the standard reference for work on spontaneous human combustion. So if you want to look that up or buy it or go to the library, it's called Fire from Heaven by Michael Harrison.
So there's some theories.
Yeah, lots
about,
of theories.
Lots of theories about how this stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it's almost always linked to, well, most of the theories that I hear involve body fat.
That's the wick effect. We'll talk about that some more.
And that's the first thing that people said in the chat rooms.
What's the wick effect?
Speaking of chat rooms, www.zeropointradio.com, click on interact, go down to chat, and get in our chat rooms.
Okay.
And you can talk with us about this and all the other folks who are listening to Zero Point Radio and also logged into the chat.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah.
They're there. It's packed full of interesting people. Get in there, chat.
Check it out.
Everybody who had logged into the chats earlier had said, oh, yes, the human wicks.
The human wicks, yeah. There's a bunch of other theories, though. Statistically, we have theories that these people have set up from statistics of all these cases. Okay?
Right, but first, the wick effect kind of thing that they talk about, they always say that it's not, like, the fat is not the wick.
No.
The wick is your actual clothing. The clothing that you're wearing is the wick.
Uh-huh.
And
your body fat is like the candle
wax. Like the candle wax.
Yeah, and when
you,
and that's a candle is obviously it's a controlled fire that you, well, here's a candle. Here's what a candle is, people. A controlled fire you can buy. They come in scented or unscented, and they usually, you know, they look pretty cool in your bedroom when you light them up. No, but yeah, the wick effect is your it's your clothes.
Ghostly Talk brought to you by Glade Candle.
I'd love to get a sponsorship from those.
Me too.
I'm a candle fiend.
Oh my gosh. We'd like, no, we don't want money. We just want candles.
Just give us candles. Just a truckload of candles.
Yes.
Scented. Yeah.
We want the little red ones and the yellow
purple
ones.
And
yeah,
the green.
Purple ones.
But there's some other theories, though, too. These are like just basic ones. Like the wick effect's more of like a real hardcore
scientific stuff.
I have worked on the wick effect here, too.
Well, that was a couple of different things. I remember seeing them actually do the.
Well,
the pig experiment.
John DeHaan.
Yeah, John DeHaan.
The California Criminalistic Institute.
He wrapped a pig in the blanket.
Yeah.
Dumped some gasoline or kerosene or something on it and started it on fire. And sure enough.
Well, here, I got it right here. Let me just scroll through it.
Yeah, read it.
To prove that humans might burn like a candle. Dr. John DeHaan of the California Criminalistic Institute wrapped a dead pig in a blanket, poured a small amount of gasoline on the blanket, and ignited it. Even the bones were destroyed after 5 hours of continuous burning. The fat content of the pig is very similar to that fat content of a human being. Okay, the damage to the pig, according to Dr. John DeHaan, is exactly the same as that from supposed spontaneous human combustion. So what, I mean, it's just illustrated.
Right.
It was a little more formalized than what we just said a minute ago.
Yeah, what he did is he made an experiment where he was able to a controlled experiment where he was able to reach the temperatures that would burn up, the corpse of a pig.
Yeah, yeah.
Just with a little bit of gasoline and a match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is, though, usually the people who have spontaneously human combustion, you know, like, usually they're associated with being alcoholics, and they're also associated with being, you know, smokers and things like that, so they light themselves on fire is the typical thing that people are thinking. And, but what temperatures we're talking about? Evidently, if you were to cremate your body, you can't cremate your own, but if you were to have it cremated, right, hopefully after passing on to the next world, the crematorium has to incinerate you for at like 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Working on it. Keep going.
And they estimate that the spontaneous human combustion temperatures reach up to 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Because even after being incinerated for hours at 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, there's still bone fragments that have to be manually ground up.
Yeah.
Whereas after somebody spontaneously human combusts,
they're powdered.
It's powdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're thinking that the temperature reached by a body that's spontaneously human combusting is going to be 3,000 or so instead of 2,000, which is what a crematorium uses.
I got a list here, though. Let's just get the whole thing covered, and this will be, we can base the discussion on this. Wow, imagine that. Like you said before, there's alcoholism. And all these cases that I've read, I can say that with pure confidence. Every case I've read, that always comes up as part of a story.
Yeah.
Hardcore drinker, so and so, burned up by, or you know,
and just, chain smoker,
alcoholism. Many spontaneous human combustion victims had been alcoholics, but experiments in the 19th century demonstrated that the flesh impregnated with alcohol will not burn with the intense heat associated with spontaneous human combustion. This is a little bit against that, but it's always a part of these stories we hear about people spontaneously combusting.
Right.
No,
well, some of the stories. There are some other stories that none of these theories talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to present
the
initial ones first, then we'll get into the weird ones, which are really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deposits of human body fat. Well, we just discussed that about the wick effect. Many victims have been overweight, yet others have been skinny. Okay, fine.
But still,
so what that mean? What that mean for us, though? We're dead.
I know. Any minute now,
we're
just
gonna be like, "Are you listening to ghosts?" Dog, what happened? Okay, I guess I'm gonna do the show by myself now. Divine intervention.
Sorry about that burning up.
Yeah,
gotta go.
Divine intervention. This is where it starts getting fun. Centuries ago, people felt that the explosion was a sign from God of divine punishment.
Well, and that's interesting, because in none of the cases I've read where there have been, you know, like neighbors or people in the same building or car or whatever, these cases, they always talk about never having heard a cry for help. Any whining, no explosion, no anything. So I don't know where that reference.
And you know what kind of noise you make when you burn yourself on a pan?
Yeah, I scream.
Yeah, I let out the most colorful. Well, how would it? Just a rainbow, a cornucopia of language.
Yes.
So I mean, and that's
and
just,
I do too.
That's just when you just nick your finger on a pan when you're cooking something. So,
yeah, and I usually give the pan several colorful
names. I think, you know, speaking about worldwide and how we're all the same, I think that's shared throughout the world too. I mean, whatever language you say it in, you're not going to be happy about that.
You're still going to say approximately the same words.
Yeah.
Only translatable. Yeah.
Buildup of static electricity. Now this is one that I like. Buildup of static electricity. No known form of electrostatic discharge could cause a human to burst into flames. Well, yeah, so far. But, I mean, you know how much a little static, you've been popped.
Lately here in Michigan, because of this, like, bizarre winter that we've been having, it's been really dry. I've been getting shocks off of everything. And, although that's subsided now that the weather broke a bit.
Yeah.
Still, though, you know, when I was getting it, you could actually see the blue arc.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I've seen that before too.
Arcing from your fingertips to the doorknob or to the other person.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I like that theory. I like it, but I've had some of the most ridiculous static electricity shocks ever, and it's never ignited my clothes though.
Yeah, I've never gotten ignited on.
No,
no.
This is a good one. An explosive combination of chemicals can form in the digestive system due to a poor diet. I should have been dead 10 years ago then.
Yeah, well, evidently McDonald's and pizza don't create that chemical.
Never mix milk together. If you have like 0.5% and 2%, I heard that's bad.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor said that's how he got burned up.
Well, that's then I'm not doing
don't
that.
Don't be mixing
then.
Your milk together. I know, you know, you want to have cookies and stuff like that, but don't be mixing the 0.5% and the 2% milk. I heard it'll just blow up on you.
It could.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, with that theory, you know, although it is true, though, that the digestive process is quite destructive and does entail a lot of chemicals and a lot of interactions. So maybe.
Here's another good one for us to bite down on. Electrical fields that exist within the human body might be capable of short-circuiting somehow. That some sort of atomic brain reaction could generate tremendous internal heat.
Well, all right.
Oh, boy. Interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, your body really is an electrochemical reaction going on all the time.
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
And so, I mean, you've got electricity in your body, you've got chemicals in your body, you know, I mean, you do that as a living human being.
Yeah.
But how many non-human beings who also have electrochemical reaction going on there in their body have been reported as spontaneously combusting?
Yeah. Well, by the way, too, that list I got, that came from crystallinks.com, too. Very cool website. Check it out. It's just crystal, how it's spelled, links.com. They have if you want to read more into this, they have an excellent section on this particular topic also, so you can read more into it. Here's my theory, though. You ready for this, Doug?
Okay.
Because I've had situations in my life that, okay, well, you ever gotten really mad? We've discussed this on this show. I mean, this may sound goofy to some people, but I mean, I give it some substance because there's been times in my life where I have gotten so angry. I'm not like that anymore. I'm nice guy Scott L. That's back when it was mean guy Scott L. But I've gotten so angry that I could, and this is, well, it's a result of your blood pressure going up, Scott, and all this stuff. Okay, I've heard all the medical explanations, and that's fine. I trust in that, but there's been times where I've gotten so angry that I could literally feel the heat rush through my body.
Mm-hmm.
My face would flush out, and I mean, head to toe, my temperature would go up. I would get so angry. Now, who is it not to say that someone, this may not apply to all cases, but could this possibly be another explanation for this phenomenon where somebody may have just been sitting there in their chair and something just irked them so bad and got to them so bad that they got so angry that their blood pressure may have been a factor in this?
Well, it could be. Well, you also have to take into account that you don't necessarily have to be angry in order to.
No, it could be other emotions too. I'm just saying for me.
It may not even be emotion related. I mean, look at how many times have you ever had it where suddenly a finger would start twitching or your eye starts twitching or
yeah, every day at work.
Yeah, or and things just start going awry.
Yeah,
and you have no conscious control over,
no,
over
you don't.
Certain things that your body does.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you really want your eye to stop twitching, or even though you really want your some muscle to quit spasming or
uh-huh.
something, it's gonna do it. And so you know, there might be a subconscious or a process going on that you have no control over.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, emotion or anger related,
yeah.
but your body could have started some kind of
metabolic reaction to
yeah.
something around you, possibly, or something, maybe not, maybe it just is sitting
or maybe
in your
it just started happening.
Yeah,
your
subconscious
for no reason,
at all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like your heart beats for, I mean, you don't think about it ever.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah, but that's what I've noticed when I think about this topic, though, because it's always a joke around us, too, like, you know, in the band and around here, too. It's like, you know, you just get so mad, you just explode. Boom. it's over. You know, you're just like, and that's it. It's over. It sounds funny. Yeah, we joke about it, but
something...
I've gotten so angry where I felt like, I mean, literally, take my hat off, unbutton my shirt. I got to breathe. I don't need to do that anymore, but back then it was like,
well, yeah,
I'm gonna kill it.
But your body, you know, when you're angry like that, your body does physically, you know, do things like send the blood out to the outer portions of your skin
mm-hmm.
so that it will cool off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so that, you know, because you're acting like a radiator then.
Uh-huh.
Because you really do have an internal body temperature, and your internal body temperature is usually higher than 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit?
98.6, I believe, is
yeah.
the number.
So we're supposed to be that, but that's really the temperature under our tongue. I mean, the temperature, like, for example...
inside your body.
Inside your body is...
inside your stomach, for example.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a lot hotter than
98.6
degrees.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like the... never mind.
Dr. Doug Simic here.
Yeah, I just... I had actually heard back in junior high.
Okay.
Oh, this is so stupid. It's so off topic, too. But I had heard back in junior high when we were studying males and females.
Okay.
That there's a reason why the things that produce the reproductive fluids, a couple of them every man and most men have,
uh-huh.
they're hanging outside the body instead of inside.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they should not be, you know, at normal body temperature. They should actually be cooler than normal body temperature.
Okay.
Otherwise, you kill the little things that they're producing. I'm not going to, I can't say it.
Well,
I'm too good.
Well, he's scaring me, man.
If you're, okay, I'm just going to say it.
What?
If your balls aren't hanging outside your body, your body is going to kill... your body is going to kill the sperm.
Nice work, Doug. You're coming around, my friend.
That hurt. And that's
okay,
because your body temperature, I mean, you know... seriously, that is because your body
yeah.
temperature down there
uh-huh.
is hotter than it... I feel like I'm on that, what's it, Groucho, You Bet Your Life or something, or that Groucho Marx show,
oh,
and like
God.
The duck just dropped down. I said the magic word.
Well, I know what you're talking about, though, too.
And
I just wanted to hear you say it, though.
I know, but you could have rescued me.
I'm sorry, man. Next time.
Good co-hosting. Yeah. No, you do it. You say it. So anyway, the truth is, I mean, and like that's like, you know, physical stuff. You there is different temperatures in different parts of your body.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be that way. But your body also has to control these temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, you know, that by, for example, with the male, you know, things that they hang out.
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
No. and of course, when like you said, when you get mad,
yeah.
Suddenly you can feel the heat penetrating off of your body, and that's because your body is actually sending your blood out to the, you know, outer, you know, to the epidermis layer,
yeah.
You know, so that it will cool because you've got, you know, your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Can radiate that heat. So your body is sending your blood out there, and that's
yeah.
why people turn beet red when they're mad. It's, you know, it's sending the blood up there and all over, actually, so that it can dissipate some of the heat.
Yeah.
So what if a body generates some heat like that but doesn't recognize it because there is no madness or, you know, whatever it is causing your body to do that, and it doesn't detect the other side, so it doesn't dissipate the heat, boom, you're on fire. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't subscribe to that theory either, but...
We don't have the answers.
But it makes sense.
It does make sense.
It makes a little bit of sense.
Well, static electricity makes sense to me, but apparently
for a lot of people,
it doesn't. Well, I don't know. It's crazy. Electricity?
Agree.
Electricity? I mean, you know?
Electricity, fat, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes alcohol.
Those are perfect conductors of fire, too. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the wick effect goes, I mean, the doctor, I forgot his name now.
DeHaan.
Thank you.
John DeHaan.
Thank you. He's the one, he basically proved that by doing a controlled experiment, which is, I mean, yeah, but it's always good to be open to other suggestions, so to say.
Sure.
Tell you what, though, why don't we go into a break here? Let's take a little quick break. And, you know, there's other things to talk about with this topic, too. All right? You know. I'm so drunk from last week, I think. You know, I mean, I'm so off the cuff right now.
So we'll be back in a few minutes and talk a little bit more, and hopefully with you on our 888 line.
Yes.
I have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Res Miranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Res Miranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Res Miranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Res Miranda, and you have been resmerized.
Finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah. What's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Tell me, write this down. It's 1-888.
Yeah.
520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. Talk to you later, dude.
Cool. Catch ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
MrOla.com. see what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com.
That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Yeah, man. Cool.
Rockin'.
Spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah. SHC for short.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it in the chat room.
Yeah, well, it's easier to say that, obviously. Hey, you know.
Yeah. I'm turning that down. That goes on for too long. Okay. Spontaneous human combustion, SHC, as they say in the chat room.
Yeah.
Speaking of the chat rooms, we're live on Zero Point Radio, www.zeropointradio.com. Click on Interact, go down to Chat, make up a name for yourself, get in the chat room, and talk with all the cool people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, one other thing. Did you know that Zero Point Radio got their graphics guru to whip up some Ghostly Talk merch?
What?
Merch is short for merchandise.
Uh-oh.
I hear a phone ringing.
Well, that wasn't me, man. Anyway, no, it wasn't me.
Well, that's what it usually sounds like.
I know.
I wonder what it was. Anyway.
It's probably just a stupid phone going.
Neighbor phone.
I'm
going to
screw with these guys some more.
It's probably, you know, I think we should probably go outside, look in the bushes. Maybe the ice cream man or something is sitting out there.
I think that phone's starting to take on a life of its own. Cause this thing really, it interrupts a lot of things in my life now. I'm trying to watch TV, the thing rings, and they'll hear the TV do the same thing.
Well, let's not let it interrupt my talk about the merch.
Okay,
that we've
merch.
Got. Yes, Ghostly Talk merchandise. This is it's actually official Zero Point Radio stuff. If you go to zeropointradio.com and look through their store, they've got one of them Cafe Press stores.
Yeah.
And Zanny is the dude. He is the graphics guru, and he whipped up some Ghostly Talk kind of stuff.
Oh, neat.
And Ghostly Talk gets no proceeds from any of that stuff. It all goes to Zero Point Radio. So
can I get a T-shirt at least?
Yeah, you just go to cafepress.com/ZPR1. Punch in your credit card number. There you go.
Oh, they don't want to mess with that thing. That credit card is smoking still from Christmas.
It's on its last little.
Yeah,
like,
I've worn it down. I've worn it down to the nub, man. There's nothing left on a magnetic.
The little magnetic stripe is gone. Yeah. Well, what happens is the go to zeropointradio.com. There's Ghostly Talk merchandise there. We don't even have any of it yet. So if you want to buy us one and send it to us.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we'll probably end up getting some for ourselves eventually. Anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
They did some really cool stuff.
Here's a question I have, though. Do they make any of them in black? Are they all in white?
I've only seen white.
Somebody out there who knows this, hit us on the IM, hit us smoke signal. I don't care. Call in. Let me know. I don't care. If they have them in black, I'm going to be a happy boy.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wear white T-shirts. These guys don't understand that.
Everybody I know
is doing white T-shirts, and it just doesn't click, man. We need black T-shirts.
Well, we'll get Cafe Press on the topic. Anyway, we're also broadcast, our replays are broadcast on Moist FM. If you go to www.live365.com and search for Moist FM, they rebroadcast us on like Thursdays and Fridays or Fridays and Saturdays. I don't remember.
And Torn's still working. They're getting ready to launch real soon too.
And they'll also do rebroadcasts.
It's TornRadio.com.
But the only place we are live on Sunday night
from 7 till 9
is our home and the place we all love, ZeroPointRadio.com.
Now, here's another interesting thing about. Well, this is actually something very cool that I read about spontaneous human combustion.
Yes.
Some more lists for us to go through, but the title of the list though is what remains after a spontaneous human combustion event.
I don't know if I want to hear.
It's not gross.
I'll tell you what. If anyone wants to rescue me from this list, call in. Do want to hear you guys talk.
1-888-520-1969.
Yes,
that's the number.
It's
no, I'm not going to gross you out. I promise. If I see anything gory or gooey in here, I won't say it. All right. I promise.
Okay.
All right. What remains after you burn up?
I just know you're going to mention a foot. But
well, it'll be in here somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
The body is normally more severely burned than one that has been caught in a normal fire. We talked about that a little bit earlier.
Which is interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit I find that to be fascinating, and here's why.
Okay.
All right. You're a human being.
Okay, last time I checked, yeah.
And if you're caught in a fire, like a house fire or, you know, some kind of normal fire kind of thing, or you're being burned at the stake for various reasons, you know, things like that, okay? Why isn't that enough to, I mean, obviously it's going to do things. It's also going to burn your fat. It's also going to burn your skin and flesh and things like that. Why isn't that enough to cause these incredible reactions? Because it's a lot of energy. And you know, any you know, fat burning going on would be releasing energy as well. Because if you know your body fat would then be the fuel for, you know, the fire while you're hopefully by then corpse is burning up. So you've got your, why isn't that enough to do the same kind of effect?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's
no,
a good question.
No, that's a great question.
Because why do they have to cook you in an incinerator so long to cremate somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to cook your body for a long, long time before you become ashes at 2,000 degrees,
which is very hot.
Yeah.
By the way,
and Fahrenheit. For our Canadian friends, that's like 67 or something Celsius.
Yeah.
Anyway, the you know, when you do the Canadian rate of exchange, I think 2,000 is about.
Yeah, we're not talking about currency here. We're talking about temperature.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, never mind. So then what happens is the
a little poke in the eye for those guys.
Canadian dollar's been up though lately.
Has it?
My parents are ticked.
Oh no!
Because when they go over to Windsor, they, you know, to the casino, they don't get as much money for their dollar. They're
trying to find a new hobby.
Yeah, they're going to have to, like, start gambling in Mexico. So anyway, what happens is okay, never mind. I just thought that was interesting.
No.
Why, when you're being burned at the stake or, you know, being cremated or whatever, why isn't all that energy from that fire enough to make your body do its own human combustion at 3,000 degrees and burn yourself up that way?
Good question.
There must be something else then.
Yes.
Is all I can say.
Well, here's another. This is actually very interesting. The burns are not distributed evenly over the body. The extremities are usually untouched by the fire, whereas the torso usually suffers severe burning. That's where we're talking about the feet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where you see the feet.
Just what's left, yeah.
Yeah. Gross. But, you know, why does that happen, though? Now, I can add to this myself. I mean, one of the theories they discussed on that is obviously parts of your, like your head, there's not a lot of fat, well, unless you're mean, there's not a lot of fat in your head, okay? There's not a lot of fat in your feet.
Yeah, my cheeks would go, like, right away.
Oh, my cheeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's not a lot of fat in your feet. It's mostly just bone and skin.
And cartilage and stuff.
And that's just going back to the wick effect, basically,
mm-hmm.
In some cases, the torso is completely destroyed. The bones are being reduced completely to ash, as we discussed that also. Like, wow.
Right.
It's got to be very hot to burn your bones to powder like that.
Because even in a even if you get cremated after you pass on, they do it at 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and there's still bone left that hasn't been reduced to ash that they've got to crush up manually.
Yeah. A greasy soot deposit covers the ceiling and walls, usually stopping 3 to 4 feet above the floor. Yeah. A soot deposit. Greasy, though.
Yeah, which suggests burning fat. I mean, have you ever cooked bacon? I mean, the mm-hmm. odor is, besides being absolutely wonderful, it's also a greasy odor.
Yeah.
A greasy smoke or whatever coming up from it.
I am starting to get sick now. Objects above this 3 to 4 foot line show signs of heat damage. Melted candles, cracked mirrors, etc. So, you know.
Directly above.
Well, directly above,
because
yeah.
things around this
don't
phenomenon
get touched.
Don't get touched.
They don't get touched, yeah.
The things above the
which
phenomenon.
Which don't make any sense. Now, here's the numbers we were talking about, though, too. Although temperatures of about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit are normally required to char our bodies so thoroughly, crematorias, which usually operate in the neighborhood of 2,000 degrees, like we said, leave bone fragments, which must be ground up by hand.
I knew I read that somewhere.
You're a man, dude.
See, I knew I read that somewhere.
And, you know, this goes on to say that frequently nothing solid is left as far as bone after one of these occurrences happen. So those are things that are left over. That's the aftermath of a body spontaneously combusting like that. I mean, strange. I mean, has anybody ever seen anything like this? That'd be kind of cool to talk about. I mean, I know these cases are few and far between. Obviously, there's a lot of cases to talk about. This has been going on for so long. But this doesn't happen to anybody every day. You don't hear about this every day. Maybe it does happen every day, but nobody wants to talk about it, except for us.
Right. Well, people have been asking about it, though. That's why we even came up with
the
topic,
exactly.
Was because people mentioned it in the Ghostly Talk forums and stuff.
Now, here's some more stuff you want to talk about. Do you want to talk more about this?
All right.
Another topic. Or what do you want to do?
No, let's do it. I think it's great. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I love it.
Because I want to get on some stories, too.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stories to talk about.
We should probably start those before the last half hour.
We could do that.
Because they are good. But
well,
let me
just blow through this list, too, because there's types of spontaneous human combustion also that you have to think about. And, we got this information from crystallinks.com. Excellent site. Check them out. Very, very interesting stuff on that site. I don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Some events, well, these are types of spontaneous human combustion. Some events of spontaneous human combustion are witnessed, but some are not. Now, if these have been witnessed, why hasn't someone come forward and told us exactly what happened?
Well, they have. It's in the stories.
Later
in the stories.
I don't read anything like that. Okay, we'll see. All right. Okay, all right.
I read it.
Good for you.
There have been witnesses, and what they basically tend to say is that, yeah, the person just burst into flames, or suddenly the person was smoldering.
I understand that, but I mean, they may be able to give you some more insight into what may have happened.
Right. Well,
I haven't read anything like that.
Well, they also, in the stories, there's a story of a lady who actually survived.
Yeah.
Spontaneous
that's in here.
Human
that's
combustion.
Good, good.
But even she couldn't give any details. She doesn't know why she spontaneously human combusted and then survived with, you know, burns over 20% of her body.
Yeah.
Every single time I hear or say the word burns.
Burns.
I keep thinking of R.F. Burns, who is the head leader honcho guy at Zero Point Radio.
Yeah.
But no, I'm talking about the other kind.
All reported cases have occurred indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of one outside yet. I haven't read anything outside.
I haven't read an outside one. I've heard indoors, in you know, in houses and dwellings, and I heard the one about the lady in the car who survived.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll talk about those later, but yeah.
Now, there's another side of this, though, too. The victims were always alone for a long period of time. I don't know how much sense that makes to what we just said a few minutes ago, but whatever.
Well, and I don't think that makes very much sense, because that might have been true with the first bunch of cases, but certainly not, you know, the lady was a passenger in the car, the driver was driving right next to her, so she wasn't alone. And then, and also, alone, I mean, yeah, the first cases that I ever read about, they were about, you know, the little old lady or whatever sitting in her chair and things like that, and then spontaneously human combusts, and then they find her, you know, later.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she had been left alone, and the guy in the news, he had been left alone because he had a nurse check on him once a week or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, for the most part, in general, yes, but I don't think that's true in all cases.
No, I agree.
So...
witnesses who were nearby in adjacent rooms report never hearing any sounds such as cries of pain or calls for assistance. We've talked about that. Now, I haven't read one case where somebody heard somebody howling in pain because they're on fire.
Right.
Which is very strange.
Yeah, because you would think that you would feel it and start screaming and hollering because of the, you know, burn from the pan effect.
Yeah.
Where you start screaming and cursing the pan.
Another interesting one on this list is sometimes victims develop burns on their bodies that have no known external cause.
Oh, wait a minute. Hi, Snow Queen, I'm Doug. She's in the chat rooms right now, and she's saying, which one of them is Doug?
Hi, Snow Queen, I'm Scott.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Okay, all right.
That's another thing. I hate to... you know, leave your subject real quick.
Cool.
I know
you're
really getting off on that, but
well, you go ahead and go. I'm going to go to the bathroom then.
No. We've got pictures of the Ghostly Talk
anniversary
party.
Last weekend, yeah.
And that's at what? www.michiganghostbusters.com/GT. What is it, Will?
What?
GT.
Wait a minute. Why don't you just give them the.
Okay.
Why don't you just go to the Michigan Ghostbuster Party? Go to what's the one link?
Is it linked right from the site?
Yeah, it's in the bus page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if you go to www.ghostbusters.com, MichiganGhostbusters.com, go to the busts page.
Yeah.
And there's a link to the to the pictures,
the
anniversary party pictures.
So you get to witness the bedlam and insanity that went on last weekend.
I'm the one in the green shirt. I was wearing a three-quarter sleeved green shirt.
I'm the one in the red shirt with the permagrin.
Yep. So there.
So now you can put a name to the face. I mean, well, a name. A name to the voice, or
that's
a face
you,
to the voice, or
yeah,
a face, whatever.
That's
okay.
How to do it.
Now, a couple other little things too. A couple little small things. Some commonalities we've talked about a little bit. These things all tie together too. If you haven't noticed, like every other thing we do on this stupid show.
Yeah, I know.
But these are really quick. 80% of the victims were female. That's an interesting point.
Okay.
So maybe we're in the clear here.
I like those odds better than the opposite if I were female.
Yeah. Overweight. We've talked about
No.
Or alcoholics.
Oh, I'm not one of them.
So you're in good shape.
Yeah. Does Diet Pepsi count or no?
Now, here's another thing, too, that speaking of alcoholism, too, they're saying a lot of the people that this happened to, they were witnessed drinking very heavily prior to the occurrence. So maybe, I mean, that's a telltale, like, Maybe this is a chemical reaction with alcohol that you might want to think about.
Or
alcohol always pops up in a discussion about this. People are always drinking heavily. They're alcoholics, and they smoke too. On top
mm-hmm.
of that, maybe there's a chemical reaction to nicotine and alcohol in the body that goes on. So if you're sitting there pounding beers and you're smoking cigarettes, which people like to do a lot.
Especially on weekends.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is, though, and that's an interesting thing, too, that I wish somebody would come up with a study about or something. They've noticed all these similarities and commonalities. Yeah. Obviously, there are always the exception to the rule, but you know how your body can do, for example, the eye twitch or the muscle twitch and things like that. It's doing these things automatically. Uh-huh. Or when you get mad, it sends the blood out to the epidermis and stuff, or to the dermal layers, so that it can cool faster. Things like that. Perhaps when you are inebriated, obviously they've done numerous studies. They find that you can't, when you drive, your reaction time is slower when you're drunk and stuff like that. Well, maybe your body's, normal functions, such as, cooling itself off and things like that, or whatever causes muscles to twitch.
Yeah.
Whatever causes your blood to go out to the outer layers of the skin to cool itself off.
Yeah.
That stuff may also be inhibited. So your body may be left defenseless against the things that normally, maybe it's normal for people to spontaneously human combust, only your body fights it normally. And your body is able to control itself,
uh-huh,
even at a subconscious level, because obviously you wouldn't ever want to, combust or anything. But, all these subconscious things that go on in your body, maybe it's able to not do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you're drunk, it's less able to stop it from doing that. Do we have a call?
I think we do.
Let's find out who it is.
I think we had a call. Oh, there it is again. Here it comes.
Let's see who it is.
Okay, how am I going to do this one?
Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Okay, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You're on Ghostly Talk with Doug and Scott L.
Hello, Doug. It's Jeff. Also, boss.
Well, hey there.
God, that phone's cranking.
Right. Spontaneous human combustion. I need to say consumption then for a minute.
All right, that's on the weekends, too.
Yeah, that we do on the weekends sometimes. and a lot of consumption happened at our anniversary party.
Yes.
I must apologize. Something got over me there, and I asked you to start singing. It was really wicked.
Wait, you mean it was wicked of you, or it was wicked that we sang?
It was wicked of me to put you up to it.
Oh.
We were singing?
You don't remember that, do you?
How drunk was I, Will?
It was quite a party, yeah.
I don't think I'd have had the guts to do the singing. But
what do we sing?
We shouldn't have had the guts to do the singing.
What do we sing? I gotta stop drinking right now. I can't. People are bringing up people on 0 point, and people all over the place have been saying stuff to me about the party all week, and I'm like, huh? What? I did what? So I'm gonna stop drinking. This isn't good. What do we sing, Will?
Radio. So it went good.
Well,
I was thinking with regards to the SHC, first of all, the human body. It's mostly water, but there's lots of fats and sugars, and yes, that can produce a burning effect. But I'll start off straight away. There's no outright explanation that I know of that would produce the effect on the bones. That is a big mystery. In fact, if you take the total energy in the fats and the sugars, it would still be very difficult to explain the effect on the bones.
I agree with that, because, however, I mean, they did indeed get a pig to non-spontaneously combust, and it did evidently produce, powdery bones, because they said it was the same effect. They didn't specifically say, oh, yeah, and the bones were reduced to powder, but they didn't say that it wasn't, so I...
Yeah, it's very hard to deduct a conclusion from that.
It's an interesting and valid point that they've raised. The only trouble is that there are reports that some of the cases happen far too quickly for that to actually be a proper explanation, although it could certainly explain one or two. I think a classic is where you've got some old people that have slept near a fire. They're wrapped full of clothing. There's a heater which might catch some of the clothing alight. The body itself, the chemistry of the elderly, is slightly different. There's a lot of, favorable is the wrong word, but...
Well, thanks for clarifying that for us.
It is different, by the way, from a house fire in another way. In a house fire, the heat is going to be applied evenly from the outside. Whereas if you're looking at, say, something that started at a localized point, such as where there's a heater nearby,
uh-huh,
then theoretically you could have a big temperature difference. differential around the body, so that one part of the body is hot like a candle, whereas the rest of it isn't. So, yeah, I can see the logic in that the human being does turn a bit like a candle, and then you're talking about things happening from the more like cooking from the inside as opposed to a house fire where it's from the outside, where ash, which is your dead skin on the outside, is actually acting as an insulator. In fact, a lot of fire retardants use that principle to try and stop fires. They actually allow the outer surface to burn because then the ash won't allow penetration. Of course, the heat going through will do that. Regardless, you can't stop incineration from happening, but it does slow down the effect, and they have used that.
Right. As a matter of fact, that's a very common thing. They actually light. They actually sometimes light fire ahead of a forest fire, in order to, you know, when that fire is gone, then there's nothing left.
There's nothing to burn.
Call it a fire break.
And yeah, so they use that kind of idea that the ash itself is not going to then burn again.
Yeah.
They use that kind of idea to stop fires in.
Okay, so. The thing,
anyway,
that makes perfect sense. That may, no,
I couldn't think of the last word of that sentence, so I just threw in anyway.
That makes perfect sense. But is there something going on with this reaction? Because the thing that grabs me every time is one of the main points they made here was, look, there's people that were right nearby, next door,
in the next room
that didn't hear a peep. Now, I don't know about you, Phobos, but we said this before. If something, I've had my clothes light on fire before. I've had something like that happen to me before. And you know
and
what
you,
I did?
You
know what I did?
Holy
I screamed at a little girl and did a stop, drop, and roll thing I did like I learned in elementary school.
Yeah,
and I put
start,
it out.
And you start hitting yourself in, you
yeah,
know,
anything
wherever,
to stop the fire.
Anything to stop it, yeah.
Because fire hurts, by the way.
Yeah, well, if you've got enough time, the clothing would only act as something to actually start the process off. Once the body is actually effectively burning, it's then just a wick. It isn't really what's producing all the energy that would be incinerating the body. Like with the pig, it's really the human body itself that would be allowing the process to continue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What you're doing if you set on... Well, we're talking about an internal process, too. That's what the theory is here, is this is an internal process. So if a fire... If you get lit up from the inside, a fire starts on you on the inside, does that somehow just, like, do you go into shock? Where you're not going to scream, where you're not going to react? Because when you go into shock, usually, I mean, if you ever have an extremity amputated... You go into shock. You literally shut down. That's your body's
right.
mechanism to keep you from being in pain.
Well, I actually know there was this when I was working at AAA, and I used to do maps, and there was this down near Eastland Mall.
Okay.
So not a very wonderful area sometimes. And what happens is the guy at the gas station on the corner had actually been shot. Somebody had shot and robbed him.
Okay.
And a coworker of mine went into the gas station, right, to pay for her gas or whatever,
uh-huh.
and he was standing there taking the money and making change and putting it in the till, not saying a word because he was in shock.
Yeah.
He was going through the motions of his job, but he was completely in shock, feeling no pain, not doing anything except his job. And she's like, you know, dude, you've been shot.
Yeah.
You need to call a hospital. You need to call an ambulance. And so finally she convinced him to, you know, go to the... She was late.
Yeah.
That's why she had to explain it. And
yeah.
So your body does go into shock like that. Maybe you are in shock
but
when you're combusting.
And it shuts you down where you can't scream, where you can't run around and try to put the fire... Well, if it's happening in the inside, it's too late already.
Yeah.
You're done.
Not much you can
you're
do.
You're cooked.
Yeah. Drink water? I don't know.
Oh, my God, dude. No, that's what I am wondering is why... Okay, you set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out! I mean, why haven't these people screamed and yelled? I mean, I'm sure there's cases where there's witnesses. Thanks for the correction, Doug.
And we'll go over some
yeah.
of them in the last half hour.
There is cases
yeah.
where there's witnesses, but a lot of these cases, these people were alone, and nobody heard a peep. They just walked in there the next morning, and there's a person.
And as Phobos had said, sometimes they walked in there sooner than the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the reported
one of
cases,
where they grabbed the doorknob. Is this what you're talking about?
No, the one that I remember is the one I think that you said was the famous one. I thought she had
that is the one where
her granddaughter or something was in the house with her. She had said, "Go down, fetch me my cigarettes," or something like that.
Uh-huh.
The girl goes down, fetches her cigarettes, brings them back up, and the lady had burned in that like
that's
five
crazy.
Or 10 minutes.
Oh my God!
So I mean, yeah, that's what you had said, Phobos, about some of them happening far quicker than the pig experiment.
There is actually, I've had one theory which may sort of go partly the way to explain SHC. I mean, certainly you're going to have to throw in everything you know, but you need something on top, something unusual. And there is a possibility. You have to first of all think, though, how do things like forest fires and natural fires, how do they actually start in the first place? When you think about that, it then becomes to make a bit more sense. You've got to think in terms of a field with lots of grass that's dry because there's been a drought or something. The grass doesn't suddenly go into fire all spontaneously, or does it? Do you have like a droplet of water or something? But the grass is already at in a position where it's ready to burn. That's the key point. If it's healthy grass, it's got plenty of water, even the odd little droplets there, it's not going to start a fire because it's too moist.
Uh-huh.
But
right.
If the grass has reached a point uniformly, and remember, one blade's not enough, its neighbors have to be ready to burn as well.
Uh-huh.
So if the whole conditions around the whole field are ready for burning, then you have a domino effect. And I would say that that probably is the biggest thing which might go to explain the more stranger versions of spontaneous human combustion.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, a lot of these cases, too, these victims are older, too.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking it's
dry.
Not so much...
Wait, older people are dry? Is that what...
Sorry. Broad generalization.
Well, I'm thinking of it from a body cell point of view. If you replace the blades of grass in a field with the cells in the human body... Remember, all your cells, although they look very different, they are very similar. They have certain things in common. They certainly have the DNA and the RNA.
And the mitochondria. And
yeah, perhaps something about the chemistry of the body cells that we're not that familiar with. Now, if every cell in your body was at this point whereby it was ready to combust, and all it needed was a neighboring cell to burn, then you could imagine something like this happening. Now, it would have to be in combination with other things, including something that causes that initial burning in the first place.
Huh.
Even a little water drop.
Well, no, that's a great analogy, though. If you equate blades of grass, well, dead blades of grass.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it takes. It's just one droplet of water in a field. It's just in the wrong place. And the water acts as a prism. The sunlight comes through it, concentrates onto a small point on the grass, starts that one blade burning, and provided that that blade can catch fire to its neighbors, then a fire goes. Of course, if its neighbors are still wet, then the fire goes out.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, well, the human body might work on a similar principle. Of course, it's difficult to imagine the body itself coming into a condition whereby it would follow the same principle as the grass, but we are made of cells. Even the bones are made of cells. I would still have difficulties with the bones aspect, though.
Yeah, me too.
It's
because
in the right direction.
Even if your fat cell ignites, a fat cell ignites, and then its neighboring fat cells ignite, and everything like that, is that going to cause? That's not going to cause the 3,000 degree temperatures that they're estimating is necessary to reduce bone to ash.
And that's the mystery right there.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we should go to a break.
Yes,
real quick.
We
need to take a quick break. Phobos. It's always a pleasure.
Actually, I wanted to talk with him more.
All right, well, you want to keep on?
Hang on, sorry.
What? Well, because you've got stories about Afghanistan, don't you?
Right.
All right, let's keep you on the line, and after the break, we're going to talk with you a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the story.
All right.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Finally got it. I got one of them toll free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1970. 69.
Can we write this down? It's 1-888.
Yeah.
520.
Mm-hmm.
1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later, dude.
Cool. Catch ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
cold down here. You know that?
It is.
The opposite of what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm in danger of that right now.
No, you didn't.
No,
not.
It's too cold in the haunted basement studio.
I gotta get off this bender, though, because, I mean, I'm prone to, like, just...
Well, you know, they say it's got alcohol.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, and you've already got, you're already a human.
I am
so.
Just a model of health right now. Jeez.
Yeah, watch
well,
out.
Scott, you smoke, you drink, you're just, you know, you're just a complete mess here, man, you know? I think you're going to spontaneously combust someday.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's a new, right there, I think me and you are going to get rich, because we just found a new slogan for non-smoking right there.
No smoking and no drinking, yeah.
Exactly, because what happens is you're going to explode.
You're actually going to combust if
I can
you don't.
See the billboards on the highways right now, man. We're going to be huge. We're going to be rich. None of you take our idea, either.
No, this is our idea. We just came up with it.
Yeah.
We're on the phone with Phobos from England, and he was presenting a couple ideas about spontaneous human combustion. Phobos, by the way, is in the chat rooms at zeropointradio.com. You go there, click on Interact, go down to chat, and join into the lively conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It gets even more crowded when Ground Zero comes on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Clyde Lewis and his incredible, incredible show and awesome audience. And so if you want to talk with Clyde Lewis and a lot of his listeners, well, not a whole lot, you know, just a handful of internet-savvy listeners, anyway, they go to the Zero Point Radio chat room and talk with him.
And Clyde's very cool to talk to on there.
Totally awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
So, anyway, so we're on the phone with Phobos, but Phobos had mentioned in the chat room earlier that he was in Afghanistan for a while.
Okay.
And so I was going to ask him, that's why I wanted him to stay on the phone.
Uh-huh.
I was going to ask you, Phobos, what's up with that?
Okay, yeah. Well, this was before the warfare, which we were involved in. This was back when there was a civil war, but the Taliban were in charge. They had taken over 90% of the country. I was in Pakistan, first of all. And, well, we had a UK company wanted us to help them out on something they were doing there. It's only to do with the software side that I work on. Now, what I do is I have call logging. That's not like making a record of the calls. It's just making a record of how long the calls were in places where people are making cheap international calls.
Well, that's all. I thought that was all SSI-7 signaling and stuff.
No, simpler than that. You see, when you're doing least-cost routing, you have a device called an auto-dialer. It's the thing that actually does all the calling of the... I mean, if you dial on the phone the country that you want to get in touch with, you may have a certain carrier that will make it cheapest. So it will call that carrier for you, do the communications protocols, and then send the number that you dial to them. But the idea is that the operator of the phone doesn't need to know what the access number is for the carrier or the PIN number if you're using a PIN number and things like that.
Right, there's a software program that deals with all that.
Yep,
and that's
software,
you.
Software, is it? One of them, anyway.
Cool. All right, so you were over there doing all this high-tech stuff.
Yeah, well, there were two sites, one in Kabul, the other in Kandahar, and they were just there for, I mean, a lot of countries have loads of these sites, especially in Europe, but Afghanistan only had like a handful, and there were two that they wanted our software, and one way or another, people had heard about our software, and they wanted us to do an installation there. Now, we were going to get work elsewhere, but they wanted us to do it there as the first site, I think also because they were having difficulties in getting people to go over there.
Well, yeah, Kandahar and stuff has been all over.
The situation was after Taliban had most of the control, it had quietened down. Now, you know, it's still not the best regime in the world, but it comparatively was much, much quieter than it used to be. And so I'd agreed to go over there, and like I even sort of sat in the co-pilot seat going over the Khyber Pass.
So evidently there was not...
Yeah, a little military Cessna.
Yeah, there was not a seating problem. There weren't that many people trying to get in.
Yeah, you don't have people fighting.
I want to sit by the bulkhead or by the window. Yeah, no, it was like...
Well, it was, I said flying low. It was below the mountaintops because they had a sort of safety issue that if they flew up high, it could still be the odd person with a rocket, you see, which might... sitting on the top of a mountain, decide to take a pop at an airplane.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, you did need to get
like
that.
Play pigeon shooting only.
You did need to get that switch installed and all the software on it so that they could call their people and say, okay, you don't have to shoot down these planes anymore. It's over.
In our case, it would be more the civilians that would be making the phone calls. They're probably the more well-to-do because they're paying £1 a minute. Well, actually, it's $1. It's in U.S. currency. But they'd be going in there making their international calls, and then they would pay for the call. And so we were just there just so to enable the automation of that rather than the people having to have this person in the booth to dial for them, because it was a bit complicated going a procedure to go through all the switching stuff.
Did you happen to have to do the did you have to meet any representatives of the Taliban at the time? Or
I met a few of them, actually. I met their communications minister, who was 10 years my junior. He was like 25. All right.
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah, I met
Are they friendly?
Yeah, how were they? I mean, I don't know. Everybody says, Taliban bad, all the time now. Because
officials were a bit more like politicians. I mean, one or two actually came to visit me, which was interesting. But, I was there in a building which was adjacent to the UN building and the Red Crescent. The Red Crescent, you might not know about. It's like the Red Cross, only it's just an Islamic-type version, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there were two buildings right adjacent, and there's also a lot of ministers' buildings right nearby as well. And I was adjacent to those two, and it was supposed to be, as I said, the quieter period. But the day after I landed, the airport that I came on, landed on, was actually bombed. Because wasn't the Northern Alliance, it was just the ex-presidential forces, decided that they wanted to retake Kabul while I was there. I don't think it was because I was there, but...
Look, they're getting software on their switch. We need that city back.
I didn't think the software was that popular.
You guys have some awesome brochures. That's all I can say.
It did get quite hairy. I mean, I saw tanks in the street. In fact, I saw a very strange thing. I saw a policeman directing traffic at a crossroads saying, give way to the tank. Now, if it was me in a car, I wouldn't need a policeman to say.
No, I would not try exert any rights over a tank.
No.
I would get out of the way. Because
another
very quickly, like, I
just have a little tiny itty bitty death escort car, so yeah. it would not put up with a tank. It, the tank might roll over it.
If they don't shoot at you first, they hit you with.
It wouldn't.
A tank has a lot on the death escort, I think.
I would not win. Yeah. No, not
you're nothing left but dug in a steering wheel.
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, that's
so. How long were you there?
Well, I was meant to be there at most a week. But what with the flights being cancelled, and at one time it even arrived in small hours in the morning and left straight away, I was there a full month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I was getting quite concerned because, as an example, the guy that was in charge of what was the AWCC, the Afghan Wireless Communications Company, same company now, actually, he had something quite devastating. He was due to move into a house, and it was... Well, I don't know if it was brand new, but it's a different location. He was going to live there with his family. And it got hit by mortar.
Oh, my gosh. And do you think, does that happen even today in Afghanistan? Or is that, has it calmed down a lot now?
I mean, it shouldn't be going on now.
Okay.
It's under control. But, I mean, what...
That was when the
only, a sample of what they had for 20 years. They had 2 million people die. And before the Taliban were actually in charge, they used to have militia. Now, what would happen is that you'd have, in Kabul, you'd have, say, 7 different warlords, each of them at the top of a hill or something, and then they'd fire rockets at each other, hilltop to hilltop, and all the way along the base of these hilltops, you'd have people living. So if it missed the target, it'd hit house.
Oh, geez,
And that's how they lived for 20 years?
Yeah, all across... I mean, they've had multiple warlords. It's only when the Taliban actually came in power that this degree of violence was somewhat trimmed down. But that said, the Taliban had a more sinister edge to them.
Well, yeah.
I guess being a realtor...
They were the biggest warlords, or the meanest.
I mean, mean, I didn't have huge numbers of balls, but, I mean, there was one or two that I could have got killed for. I let somebody watch a film on a PC.
Oh.
That, how are you, man? Bad Phobos.
And that was bad?
That. There is the death penalty for that.
No.
It's because the PC itself can access the internet. Strictly, the death penalty was for unauthorized use of the internet.
Oh, my gosh. I guess they're not, well, at the time, they wouldn't have listened to Ghostly Talk then.
Yeah.
Chess was illegal.
Chess?
Mostly illegal. Certainly no cinema, no TV sets. They did have radios. I don't know whether they were official or not, but everybody listened to the radios. Alcohol was illegal, yet I suppose a lot of people had access to it, let's put it that way.
That's the good old diplomatic pouch.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But very strict rules. But that said, they, you know, there were things that the people weren't totally against it, but if you look beneath the skin, it was very nasty. So, you know, I mean, that was a bit disquieting. But beforehand, apparently, they had something which was much worse. So they were trying to make efforts, if you want to call it that, to westernize. All within the Islam tradition, they were trying to quell things down a little bit more and try and make things... They wanted to progress a little bit, let's put it that way. So it's difficult to know what to make of them. But the people themselves, they were very friendly. But you had to watch what you said, you had to watch what you did, and I found wherever you go, you were the center of attention, which is not always such a good thing. I mean,
no.
In the West, we like to be celebrities. And you always wonder, what would it be like to be a member of the royal family or something like that in the UK? Well, I got the feeling of what it would be like, and it's not all good.
I think I would have preferred anonymity.
I would have just stayed in the house. Well, I wouldn't have came out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have left the house.
No, because that's kind of scary.
Well, when traveling, we came up to a road crossing. I won't say traffic light. I don't think there were traffic lights. I'm just trying to remember. I mean, we got caught in camel jams and things like this. It's not like normal roads. A junction. Let's just call it a junction. We were only there for 20 or 30 seconds, and there must have been 20 or 30 people, a crowd that formed, just looking in at the vehicle because I was there.
Jeez,
oh,
please,
oh my
man.
Gosh.
And, I mean, I took the road route. I was supposed to, in fact, I had a flight paid for it. It was a million Afghanis, which is about £100. But I was supposed to go by air, but there were so many delays that I went against advice and decided to go by road. We went over one bridge you could actually see through.
Oh my gosh.
See through. There were, I think it was about four or five bridges that were down. They don't put signs up.
Yeah.
Right? The bridge was down. Occasionally you'd have to go off-road, and to me that was the scary part. The rest of it was, you know, I mean, we had a Taliban soldier with us at one point because they were worried about hijackings and so on. But
they're worried about hijackings?
Well,
aren't they the ones that invented that?
Yeah, I thought they were the ones who invented it.
Yeah, they pioneered that practice, I thought.
Well, no, they allowed Bin Laden to have a stronghold in their country, which is why they had a problem with the Taliban.
Well, I believe Mullah Omar was in Kandahar while I was there, because a week after I left, there was an attempt on his life.
Oh, wow.
God, wow.
Heard of an explosion that went there.
All right, I'm scared enough.
Yeah,
I'm done with it.
Sounds bizarre. Anyway, thank you, folks.
Thank you for, that's really great. No, it's good to hear
from
something firsthand like
somebody
that.
Somebody who was actually there, yeah.
Excellent. We got to finish up a couple stories here and close this show out, though, Phobos. Thanks for calling, as usual.
Yep, and I'll see you in the chat room.
We'll be talking to you soon, Phobos.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I'm glad I'm not over there.
No, yeah, I agree. You got a couple of stories, don't you, Doug?
Yeah, I want to tell you the story. This is the one, I think... This was from the 5th of February, 2003. It says that an 85-year-old man who appears to have died from spontaneous self-combustion has been buried in his back garden. This is in Romania. Police are refusing to issue a death certificate because his head was burnt to the size of an orange, but his body and clothes were unmarked. Alexei Ruzhenk from Dej, whatever, Western Romania, was found by his daughter sitting next to his fireplace. Investigators say no one can explain why more than 80% of the man's head melted away and why his shirt and clothes did not have any trace of burning whatsoever. Several doctors said it was possible the man suffered carbon monoxide poisoning, fell into the fireplace, and his head set on fire. But the theory is not endorsed by police forensic experts, who say a human body can burn only at a temperature of 250 degrees Celsius, which is impossible to reach in a fireplace. They say this might be the first case of unexplained spontaneous self-combustion investigated in Romania, but they are refusing to issue a death certificate without a known cause of death. So that was a recent one where the guy's head burned off.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I want to talk about, these two, really quickly, and this comes from castleofspirits.com/shc.html. In October of 1938, Maybelle Andrews was with her boyfriend dancing at a nightclub. Suddenly, flames erupted from her back, chest, and shoulders. Her boyfriend was severely burned trying to put out the flames. He said that at the time there were no other flames in the room anywhere and that they had come from Maybelle herself. Maybelle died of her injuries on the way to the hospital.
Mm.
And then, of course, the other one that I had referred to earlier was about the lady in her car. Here we go. October 1980. An air woman by the name of Jenna Winchester burst into flames whilst sitting in a car next to a friend in Florida. Her friend saw yellow flames coming from Jenna and heard her scream, "Get me out of here," and saw her trying to beat out the flames with her bare hands. The car crashed into a telephone pole. Jenna survived the experience with 20% of her body covered in burns. So she just, like, lit on fire just like that with no known cause, just, you know, was sitting in a car with her friend and poof, up in smoke. There's also all kinds of other stories like that. Visit www.castleofspirits.com/shc.html and read up on them because some of them are very interesting. None of these stories, when you take all those stories plus all the others on the internet, I cannot come up with a reason for spontaneous human combustion.
Wait, which there are theories, but...
None of the theories explain every story.
Yeah, and that's what makes us different from a lot of things we've talked about on this show, is that we can sit here and scientifically explain things. Well, why are there ghosts? We're sitting here going...
This is even worse.
Yeah, we don't understand this at all.
This is even worse than ghosts, because at least we can theorize about ghosts and come up with things that at least fit almost every sighting case, and whether we're right on or not doesn't matter. You know, it's just like at least we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
We think about it, and there's nothing that explains it all.
Ironic part about it, though, too, is this is a physical thing that happens.
Yeah.
It seems like we'd be more prone to be able to explain this or figure it out.
Yeah, you'd think you would be able to test or set up an experiment or something that explains it in all cases, and they tried. They burned the pig, but it just did not... Yeah, thank you, but it just does not explain everything.
No.
Like, for example, it would have to be, in order to get that amount of energy to burn the human bones to powdered ash, you would think that you'd have to have some kind of maybe fusion, you know, some kind of cold fusion or something going on to get that kind of energy in there. There's just not that much energy in a human body to, when you're burning it, to reduce bones to ash.
Strange.
It's a really bizarre topic. Look into it. Enjoy. I hope this was
interesting. We talked about it a lot tonight. There is things going on in the world, and we're trying to keep our focus on this show. Unfortunately, it don't always work that way.
No.
We need to talk about the world around us.
You guys over in the Gulf, we're behind you 100%.
Yeah, good luck. Stay safe, and hopefully you'll be listening to us again next week.
Talk to you next week.
This was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.